Thanks for joining. Namo Myoho Renge Kyom. All right, this is an interesting Gosho. The first time I read it, it was the first time I'd heard information from Nichiren himself on this. I guess I would say it's a controversial subject because we live in a world where there are a lot of opinions, and some people might take offense at my talking about it this way, but I'm just going to go ahead and I think you'll understand as I go. You know, we are practicing Buddhism. We are practicing the entirety of the scholarship of Buddhism, and that scholarship culminates in the Lotus Sutra. And so whether you choose to say we are Nichiren Buddhists, there are varieties of Nichiren Buddhists. Certainly in Japan, at the time of the World Wars, there were several sects, and still are, of Buddhism, calling themselves Nichiren Buddhists, who are extremely nationalist and very much about Japan and Nichiren Buddhism being about Japan as a nation specifically. That's just one example, though. It's all over the world. There's different, we can say they're sects, but they're not just sects. There are sectarian differences, yes. And there are organizations, from cult to simply groups, right? And it's always been a source of kind of bafflement to me that there are so many, and this isn't strictly to, in regard to Buddhism, but Buddhism is such a precious thing to me that I understand, you know, in a capitalist world, people will have different ways of doing the same thing. That's okay. But there's this line that's crossed that when they do things a different way, everyone else is wrong. Ours is the only way. Ours is the only true way. And the arrogance behind that is annoying, and even worse at times. But in relation to Buddhism specifically, I think it's an egregious violation, an affront to every Buddhist when this attitude is taken, because I can't think of a behavior that's more anti-Buddhism, not anti-Buddhist, although, but anti-Buddhism, the philosophy itself from the start was about a universal path method for all living beings to escape from the built-in sufferings of life itself. Like, you know, the subject of attachments come up a lot lately. And the fact remains that, or the fact can be made that all of Buddhism, every single story, expedient means, teaching, if you will, of Buddhism, really starts with, whether it explicitly states it or not, attachment. Because samsara, really, if you break it down very simply, the idea that energy forms to exist, to be something, is attachment. The only reason, I shouldn't even use the word reason, but the only justification for something is that it wants to instantiate itself as being something. I mean, this is attachment, plain and simple, at its core. So this is why, as you know, the Four Noble Truths, let's get really basic here. The first noble truth, the first enlightened idea in Shakyamuni's mind was, all life is suffering. He didn't say all human life. He didn't say all planetary life. He didn't say all universal life. The process of life itself is suffering. Why? Second truth, attachment. How can you live without this suffer-causing agent? Detach yourself from attachment. Fourth noble truth, how the hell do you do that? You live an abundant life. You live a life in strict observation of those attachments and how they control you, and you work to detach yourself from them. Cease the attachment. Don't cease life. Cease the attachment. This is the whole ball game. And all the way throughout his entire life, everything he taught culminates in the Lotus Sutra and says, look, this is all you have to do. This is the universal method. Myoho Renge Kyo is the universal method. Myoho Renge Kyo is the title of the Lotus Sutra. The Lotus Sutra is the method, the Myoho Renge Kyo. Nichiren saw this very clearly, and so he made a mandala of Myoho Renge Kyo to help give it a physical reference, because as humans in life, we are attached. And so when we want to manipulate our mind, we need some attachment that guides us solely to that detachment that doesn't represent anything else. It doesn't have Christmas wreaths around it. It doesn't have offerings of it's all it is Myoho Renge Kyo. The totality of teachings in Myoho Renge Kyo. That's all it is. It's very, very, very clean and clear. So when Nichiren talks about this mandala, he talks about it as a Gohonzon concept that has been there from the get-go. That was there when Tendai taught. That was there when Dengyo taught, right? We've been reading through these different Gosho. He repeats this in different ways over and over again. He's kind of dispelling the idea that he invented this. He didn't invent it. He just gave it a more modern form, but this has been the teaching all along. Right? It's universal, right? I mean, that's the more you study, the more absolutely clear that becomes. And so why do I say this? Because it absolutely baffles me, and quite frankly, really upsets me that, excuse me, I need something to drink. There are so many groups, organizations, sects that behave as though only they have the true Gohonzon. Only they have the authority to bequeath one to you. Only they know if you've been naughty or nice and whether you should have a Gohonzon for your own practice. Oh, by the way, we won't give you one that Nichiren inscribed. The boss here, he's the one who inscribed this one, so we're giving his out. Because, you know, he had people he got it from, and they got it from, and they got it from, and, you know, they're the only ones who have the authoritarian ritual of lineage. Well, I'm sorry, but I call bullcrap on that. That is not Buddhism. It is not Buddhism to say to you, well, I don't know if you're good enough to practice Buddhism. What? Who put you in charge? Your Buddha nature is yours. That's been the teaching from the get-go. To attain your enlightenment, to awaken to your Buddha nature in this lifetime. Nichiren says it 1,000,000,000 times. Shakyamuni said it. Tendai said it. Dengyo said it. Nagarjuna said it. Why suddenly can I only get it by permission through this one place, and if I get it through another, I don't know what I am. Where the hell did that start? That's the biggest and most tragic authoritarian boot that's been leveled at the gut of Buddhism throughout the millennia, but certainly in modern times. Boy, do we live in a world that loves to kick us in the gut with a big old boot. Any way we turn, anywhere we go, we're just not good enough. We're not good enough to get any, name it, food stamps. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's some organization there telling you, I control this and I judge whether or not you can do it. Bullcrap. I can say that with complete authority when it comes to Buddhism. You may challenge me in a lot of other areas, politics, capital, whatever. I'm exhausted with those arguments. But Buddhism, I will not back off. I make Gohonzons available to anyone who wants one. I'm not pushing them on anyone. I'm not saying, hey, you need to do this. Because that's disrespectful. It's disrespectful of your Buddha nature. It's disrespectful of my Buddha nature. And it's certainly disrespectful of the method of Buddhism and what it is trying to achieve, what it is offering to achieve, what the method is for. But if you have the curiosity and the will to look into it, then the first thing I want you to be able to do is suffer the minor hurdle of going to cafepress.com/Gohonzon and order one. Just get one and start studying. Just do it. I won't get in the way of your Buddhahood. Okay, there's a caveat. If I know you to be untrustworthy, if I have lived in your sphere and I know you personally or maybe online, if I know you, if I know of you well enough and you've demonstrated to me that you're not trustworthy or that you're in some way maybe you started and then you quit and and then you come back to it and you say, give me another one. You know what? I'm not going to stand in your way. I've already told you, there's a web address, go get one. But if you're asking me to confer one to you, if you want to do the ceremonial path, Gojukai ceremony and so forth, I honor that as well. I honor that deeply. Because it means that you've really taken on this as a life path. You're human. You may change your mind. But if you really want to do a Gojukai ceremony and have this mandala bequeathed to you from me, I want to honor that. I want to do that for you. Whether it's in person or online, we'll figure out a way. But I'm not going to stand in the way of you getting a Gohonzon if you at all feel the impetus to check it out, to start doing it. How could I? I would be defying all of the teachings of Buddhism. Certainly Nichiren. Right? That's always made sense to me. But I've never read it anywhere. I've never seen it talked about that way in any kind of sect or organization. They're always hung up about the authoritarianship, about ownership, about attachment and control and numbers, membership, money, dollars. None of that has anything to do with Buddhism, not where I'm concerned. I have never read anything of the sort. In fact, if anything about that, especially in Nietzsche, and you can read his own words, he rails against that, right? So, when I read this Gosho, I was kind of floored. Nobody ever told me about this Gosho. I had to find it. It's published. It's published through, albeit sectarian, maybe non-sectarian, but through scholarship. And it's the first thing I ever read where Nietzsche struggles with this very thing. And I was deeply moved by it. It validated my practice to a depth I hadn't, I don't know if I'd previously experienced. I have had powerful validations of my practice. But as in life, we have powerful events that happen to us, but they come from different areas of life. Emotional, physical, relationships, just they're different, right? That doesn't mean one's more powerful than the other. They may seem that way when you first experience them, but it just means that it's another aspect of your life, your environment, the two are the same, that move you. All right. Now, having said all of that, where are we? It's already 17 minutes. This little Gosho is called Reply to Niyama. Niyama means a young nun. And this story, or this letter, concerns Oyama, who's an elder nun. Whether they're related or not, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's important. But just as a little bit of background behind this, this older nun was a friend of Nichiren's family before he, and after, I would guess, before he became a Buddhist scholar. So, as you know, when he was a child, he was born in a fishing village. His parents worked in the village. The father was a fisherman. And evidently, this older nun knew the family and was very supportive, helped him at some times. I don't have specific stories right now, but it's documented that she was a close friend of the family and that she had helped him out in some dire times. And so Nichiren grew up. When he was 12 years old, he went off to study at a temple and then moved around throughout Japan and China, researching Buddhism. And at different times when he was able to repay that debt of appreciation, he did. So he knew this woman for a long time. And at some point he inscribed a mandala of Gohonzon for her. But it turns out, as soon as he started getting persecuted by the government, I think the Tatsunokuchi persecution was the first one, she totally jumped ship. Oh, I don't want anything to do with Nichiren. I just got rid of her mandala and started practicing with other schools. And so her commitment to practice certainly Nichiren's doctrine, but perhaps Buddhism entirely, I'm not sure. I think she was probably a Buddhist, but of what sect, maybe Shinto, which isn't really Buddhism, but was very prevalent in Japan before and still is. A lot of Buddhist aspects, but not Buddhism really. And so this is the young nun writing a letter and asking for Ohama, the elder nun, to have a mandala inscribed for herself and for the elder nun. And so this letter is Nichiren responding to Niyama. And you can see this is after now he's returned from Sado Island, I believe the second time, and he's moved to Minobu, Mount Minobu. So without further ado, let me get into it. He begins, "I have received the bag of sea laver that you have sent. I would also like to express my appreciation for the offering of sea laver from Oama." So stuff was sent in the name of both nuns. Laver is seaweed. "This area is called Mount Minobu," he continues. "Suraga Province lies to the south, and it is more than 100 ri from the coast at Ukishimagara-hara. In that province, to this mountain, in the district of Hakiri in Kai Province. The route is more difficult than 10 times the distance on an ordinary path. The Fuji River, the swiftest in all Japan, runs from north to south. High mountains rise to the east and west of this river, forming a deep valley where huge rocks stand about everywhere like tall folding screens. The waters of the river rush through the valley like an arrow shot through a tube by a powerful archer. The river is so swift and rocky that sometimes a boat is smashed to pieces as it travels along the banks or attempts to cross the stream. Coming through this dangerous place, you arrive at a large mountain called the Peak of Minobu. To the east stands the peak of Tenshi, to the south, Takatori, to the west, Shichimen, and to the north, Minobu. It is as though four towering folding screens have been set up. Climbing these peaks, you see a vast stretch of forest below, while going down to the valleys. You find huge rocks lined up side by side. The howls of wolves fill the mountains. The chatter of monkeys echoes through the valleys. Stags call plaintively to their does, and the cries of cicadas sound shrilly." He's like making a postcard for her here because she's not been to the area, obviously. So he starts by thanking her for their offerings and giving her the rundown, the 411 on where he's living now. He continues, "Here spring flowers blossom in summer, and trees bear autumn fruit in winter. Occasionally," so obviously the mountains are pretty high because it has kind of a differentiated weather system from Kamakura and where he used to live in those areas. He continues, "Occasionally you see a woodcutter gathering firewood, and those who visit from time to time are friends of old. Mount Shang, where the four white-haired elders retired from the world, and the deep recesses in the mountains where the seven worthies of the bamboo grove secluded themselves, must have been like this place." So it's kind of an oasis. It's a good place for him to retire. He goes on, "Climbing the peak, it looks as if seaweed were growing there, but instead you find only an expanse of ferns." So a lot of humidity, evidently. "Going down to the valley, you think surely it must be laver growing there, but it's only a dense growth of parsley. Though I have long since ceased to think about my home, seeing this laver brings back many familiar memories, and I am saddened and find it hard to bear. It's the same kind of laver I saw long ago on the shore of Kataumi, Ichikawa, and Kominato. I feel an unwarranted resentment that while the colors, shapes, and tastes of this laver have remained unchanged. My parents have passed away, and I cannot restrain my tears. So these are childhood memories, right? Remember, he's a fisherman, so he's all very familiar with seaweed. And so the offerings she sent are bringing his mind back to those days. It's very similar. But enough of this, he catches himself, and he says, I've been asked to inscribe a mandala of the Guhanzan for Owama, and I am troubled about it. The reason is as follows. This Guhanzan was never mentioned in the writings of the many Tripitaka masters who traveled from India to China, or in those of the monks who journeyed from China to India. All the objects of devotion ever enshrined in the temples throughout India are described without exception in the record of Western regions. The biography of the Tripitaka master of Tao Tzu in Sisu Temple, and the transmission of the lamp. Nor have I found it mentioned among the objects of devotion of the various temples that were described by those sages who traveled from China to Japan, or by those wise men who went from Japan to China. Since the daily record of countless temples, such as Ganjo-ji and Shitengo-ji, the first temples in Japan, and many histories, beginning with the Chronicles of Japan, name them without omission. The objects of devotion of those temples are clearly known, but a Guhanzan has never been listed among them. So you'll understand why he's saying all of this in a moment. People say in doubt, it was possibly not expounded in the sutras or treatises. That is why the many wise men have neither painted nor carved images of it. End quote. However, the sutras are before their very eyes. Those who so doubt should examine whether or not it is found in the sutras. It is wrong to denounce this object of devotion merely because it was never painted or carved in previous ages. For example, Shakyamuni Buddha once ascended to the heaven of the 33 gods to fulfill his obligations to his deceased mother. But because of the Buddha's transcendental powers, with the exception of the venerable Madaglalyayana, no one in the entire land of Jambudvipa was aware of it. Thus, even though Buddhism is before their very eyes, if people lack the proper capacity, it will not be revealed. And if the time is not right, it will not spread. This is a principle of nature. It is as if, for instance, the tides of the ocean were ebbing and flowing in accordance with the time, or the moon in the heavens were waning and waxing. This is just this Buddhism is such a profound, for lack of a better word, truth. It's a method of realization of a process that has been there since time without beginning, right? And continues constantly. We're just a point in its flow. But to realize that requires a method of us getting past our attachment mind, our human samsaric mind of attachments. Attachments to dissection, to categorization, to identity of anything, including ourselves. Ironically, we identify Buddhahood. Shakyamuni Buddha, he continues, the Lord of Teachings, treasured this Guhanzan in his heart for numberless major world system dust particle kalpas, and even after he appeared in this world, he did not expound it until more than 40 years after his first preaching. Even in the Lotus Sutra, he did not allude to it in the earlier chapters of the theoretical teaching. He began things in the Treasure Tower chapter. He revealed it in the Lifespan chapter, and he brought things to a close in the Supernatural Powers and Entrustment chapters of the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo, the Myoho Renge Sutra. Do you see how these characters, Namo Myoho Rengekyo, are not simply just magical words or characters? They are these teachings. They are the invocation of these teachings. Bodhisattvas such as Manjushri, who lives in the golden colored world, Maitreya in the palace of the Tushita heaven, and perceiver of the world sounds on Mon Potalaka, and Bodhisattva Medicine King, who is a disciple of the Buddha Sun Moon Pure Bright Virtue, all vied with one another in asking the Buddha's permission to propagate the Gohonzon in the latter day of the law. This is as writ in the Lotus Sutra, right? But he refused. The Buddha declared, quote, those bodhisattvas are known for their excellent wisdom and profound learning. So, yeah, kudos. But since they have only recently begun to hear the Lotus Sutra, their understanding is still limited. So I can't entrust the spread of this most amazing method to people who aren't yet fully capable. It would be irresponsible of me to do that. So he continues, thus they would not be able to endure the great difficulties of the latter age. My true disciples I have kept hidden in the depths of the earth for numberless major world system dust particle kalpas. I will entrust it to them, end quote. So, as I've discussed before, bodhisattvas of the earth is a simile for future beings, future cultures, future evolutions of man, of mankind. So saying, he continues, the Buddha summoned bodhisattva superior practices and other bodhisattvas in the, quote, emerging from the earth, end quote, chapter, and entrusted them with the five characters, Myoho Rengekyo, the heart of the essential teachings of the Lotus Sutra. Then the Buddha said, quote, listen carefully, you must not propagate it in the first millennium of the former day of the law or in the second millennium of the middle day following my death. In the beginning of the latter day of the law, slanderous monks will fill the land of Jambudvipa so that all the heavenly gods will demonstrate their rage, comets will appear in the sky, and the earth will quake like a movement of huge waves. Innumerable disasters and calamities, such as drought, fires, floods. Come on, page-turning karma. Gales, epidemics, famine, and war will all occur at once. The people of Jambudvipa will don armor and take up bows and staves, but since none of the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, or benevolent deities will be able to help them, they will all die and fall like rain into the hell of incessant suffering. At this very time, rulers can save their countries and people be freed from calamities, and in their next life escape the great fires of hell, if they embrace and believe in this great mandala of the five characters, Myoho Rengekyo, end quote. So, why does Nichiren tell this story and repeat this history? He's speaking to a young nun, right? So he's telling her, I have to respect this practice, this Myoho Rengekyo. I have to offer the same responsibility for its practice as Shakyamuni did. He didn't stop people from practicing. He understood their nature and their resolution. And some, even though they wanted to, their resolution wasn't steady. It wasn't, they were just converted. And so there was some concern that they wouldn't be the best emissaries right? So now Nichiren continues. Though Nichiren is not Bodhisattva's superior practices, believing that his already having attained a general understanding of this teaching is perhaps the design of that Bodhisattva, he has been declaring it for these more than 20 years. He's talking about himself in the third person. When one resolves to propagate it, one will meet difficulties. As the sutra states, and you've heard this many, many times now in the last few sutra, quote, since hatred and jealousy toward this sutra abound even when the Thus Come One is in the world, how much more will this be so after his passing? And, quote, it will face much hostility in the world and be difficult to believe, right? So Nichiren finds himself in that prophecy, in that very history of the teaching of the time, the capacity, and Myoho Rengekyo. He continues, of the three powerful enemies predicted in the sutra, the first indicates, in addition to the sovereign, district and village stewards, lords and of manors, and the ordinary populace, believing the charges leveled by the second and third enemies, who are high monks, these will curse or vilify the votary of the Lotus Sutra or attack him with swords and staves. So this, in fact, happened to Nichiren, right? Though it is a remote place, Tojo Village in Awa Province is like the center of Japan because the sun goddess resides there. Though in ancient times she lived in Ise Province, when the emperors came to have deep resolute mind and conviction in Hachiman and the Kamo shrines and neglected the sun goddess, she became enraged. At that time, Minamoto no Yoritomo, the general of the right, wrote a pledge and ordered Aoka no Kadayu to enshrine her in the outer shrine of Ise. Perhaps because Yoritomo fulfilled the goddess's wish, he became the shogun who ruled all of Japan. This man then decided on Tojo District as the residence of the sun goddess. That may be why this goddess no longer lives in Ise, but in Tojo District in Awa Province. This is similar to the case of the great Bodhisattva Hachiman, who in ancient times resided at Daizaifu, but later moved to Mount Otakayama in Yamashiro Province, and now lives in Tsurugaoka in Kamakura in Sagami Province. Out of all the places in the entire land of Jumputvipa, Nichiren began to propagate this correct teaching in Tojo District in Awa Province in Japan. Accordingly, the Tojo steward became my enemy, but his clan has now been half destroyed. Because Oama is insincere and foolish, sometimes she believes, but other times she doubts. She is irresolute. When Nichiren incurred the wrath of the government authorities, that was the Tatsunokuchi persecution, she discarded the Lotus Sutra. That is what I meant before when I told her whenever we meet that the Lotus Sutra is, quote, the most difficult to believe and the most difficult to understand, end quote. If I present her with this Guanzhen for her salvation, because I am greatly indebted to her, the 10 demon daughters will certainly think I am a very partial monk. Like I'm doing her a favor. On the other hand, if just as the sutra says, I do not give it to a person without resolute mind and conviction, even if I am not partial, perhaps not realizing her own fault, she will harbor a grudge against me. I have explained the reason for my refusal in detail in a letter to Acharya Suke. Please send for that letter and show it to her. So we'll read, I'm curious to read that letter. It's obviously much more complex, but you can see here what Nichiren is troubled about. He's already recruited. She's already devoted herself to Nichiren's, the teachings of Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus Sutra, not Nichiren. He wouldn't be so egotistical, but he, right here he says the Lotus Sutra. And then when he ran into trouble, she got freaked out and she discarded the Lotus Sutra. Yikes. Why? Fear, doubt. The government doesn't like him. I don't want to be associated with him. But that's not, just being associated with him isn't your relationship with Lotus Sutra. Your relationship with Lotus Sutra is yours. The Lotus Sutra is just describing how you awaken to your own enlightenment, like I say all the time. I can't give you Buddhahood. No one can give you Buddhahood. No one can keep you from Buddhahood. It's all on you. Either you awaken your Buddha nature, or you decide not to. But if I believe you're sincere and I hand you a Gohanzon, you don't get it on your own, you get it through me, and I hand you a Gohanzon and you throw it away, and then comes a request, not even through you, but through a younger a representative for you, and asks for another one, now I am complicit. Remember the Gosho we just finished recently? If Oama wants to procure her own Gohanzon, her own mandala of the Gohanzon, which back then was, I don't know how you would have done it. Maybe purchase it from some other member who now had doubts and didn't want it anymore. Oh, there's a whole complexity of karma going on there, but certainly from my standpoint, from Nichiren's standpoint, where can I be a compassionate Buddhist who doesn't want to be an obstacle for somebody's practice, but also not compound the errors being made here, right? I don't want to be complicit in her slander. This is a tough one. So in this other letter, I'm sure he'll go into much greater detail, but suffice it to say, in this letter, I'm not willing to take that chance right now. I have no demonstration of her steadfastness to go on, to feel like, see, she's already had one. It's not like it's her first one. So discarded, the problem really is not about giving her a mandala. It's about the fact that she's already had one, given one directly from Nichiren himself, and then thrown it away. There's some real discord going on there. What needs to be resolved? I'm not intimate with her anymore, so I don't really know what's going on with her. This is too risky because of my deep abiding respect for Myoho Rengekyo. There's nothing that keeps her from practicing that without a mandala. But issuing a mandala, well, that's on me. So what kind of cause am I making? I'm in the dark here. I'm not sure. So he chooses to be cautious. He has far too much respect for what this represents. So he goes on here. We're almost done. Where are we? Okay. You are of the same family as Oama, he says. Remember, this letter's to Niyama. You're of the same family as Oama, but you have demonstrated the sincerity of your resolute mind and conviction, because you have often sent offerings to me, both to the province of Sado and to this province, and because your resolve does not seem to wane, I will give you the mandala of the Gohanzon. But I still worry whether you will maintain your resolute mind and conviction to the end, and feel as if I were treading on thin ice or facing a drawn sword. I will write you again in more detail. Even though it is said that not only Oama regrets, but in Kamakura, among the 999 out of 1,000 people who gave up their resolute mind and conviction when I was arrested, perhaps since public feeling has now abated, there are some who regret as well. These could never be like her to me. Please explain thoroughly that no matter how sorry I feel for her, since flesh is no substitute for bone, I do not intend to grant her request because she has turned against the Lotus Sutra. With my deep respect, Nichiren. I don't know. When I read this Gosho, I was it rattled me a little bit. I understand. I totally, from my own personal standpoint, I understand his reticence. I would have my own. I could name some people. I'm not going to, but I could name some people right now just by knowing their natures if they simply popped up. Hey, buddy, I saw all your videos on YouTube. Hey, can you give me one of those? That's a great poster. Probably wouldn't offer them a Gwanzan. And yet, at the same time, I know that that same person could go online to cafepress.com/Gwanzan and buy one for himself. But that's different. I put up that website. I put up the digital image of a Nichiren inscribed Gohanzen for purchase. So I am still involved in that transaction. But that's the side of me and the side of Nichiren and the side of all bodhisattvas in the world that wants eagerly to help their fellow man, right? This is the bodhisattva nature. So I don't want to be an obstacle. I can't judge them because I don't know their mind and their resolution, right? Nichiren had a very personal relationship with this person, and that's what got shaken. Betrayal is probably the right word. So Nichiren has an actual experience with this person regarding this mandala. And that's what motivates him to hold on. He's not saying she'll never get one. He's saying right now, I don't feel that I'm honoring this teaching well enough, given what I know at this moment, to hand her another one. But at the same time, this is a universal teaching. It's supposed to be, by Nichiren's own words, read right out of the sutra to propagate it broadly amongst all of Jambudvipa. So this is a tough call, isn't it? It's not cut and dry. But one thing I do know as I read this, it's not authoritarian. It's not hierarchical. It's not a lineage-based thing. He's looking, Nichiren is, at the example of Shakyamuni, the founder of Buddhism. And he's seeing in the sutras, in the lotus specifically, of Shakyamuni's reticence to just hand out the ultimate teachings to everyone he knows and hold on a little bit more to those who would be more dedicated to invest their lives and investigate their practice, using their practice to investigate the depths of this method, they would have some valuation for it. Not just some casual relationship, right? So again, as you know, I'm fond of saying Buddhism's about study, because this is where this resolve comes from. When you study, you develop confidence. When you develop confidence, then your resolution is much stronger. So here is a woman who's a nun, obviously studying, who should be more confident, and in an instant throws it all out the window. Yes, she has regrets. So do a lot of people that gave up on Nichiren when he was exiled. But his feelings toward Owama being personal, intimate, lifetime, through his family, it's a different matter. So I don't know. I don't know if I can put Nichiren to fault on that. He obviously was conflicted. Maybe he changes his mind soon after that. I don't know. Just the fact that he talked about this, though, I found to be interesting, because these are questions that I've had, or I had, from my exposure to all these other authoritarian regimes, and wondered if I was interpreting all the sutras correctly. Was I standing in the way? And I erred on the side of not being an obstacle. I absolutely cannot. I abhor the thought of being an obstacle to someone's practice of Buddhism in any way. That's why this channel. That's why Gohanzen Online. That's why if you have the ichinin, the will, to find it, purchase it, get it in the mail or download it, then in my mind, my view, you're already committing to it. If the nature of your commitment is strong or the nature of your commitment is weak, congratulations, you're a human being. We change moment to moment. And I cannot fault you for being a samsaric being. I can only will you through daimoku, through reinforcement, to encourage you to stay strong, to develop, to overcome doubts, because you can answer those doubts. You don't have to let them loom. You can investigate them and blow them apart. But that's on you. All I can do is offer you a hand, offer you a step stool, offer you some kind of guidance, an opportunity for you to learn yourself, your own, use your own mind and your own reasoning as the tool to discover your path and your insights to awaken your Buddha nature. This is what Shakyamuni says. This is what Tendai, Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, Dengyo, Miaolo, and Nichiren, and others. Anyone who's a scholar of Buddhism will tell you that. And the more you gain confidence and knowledge, the more you enjoy, you savor your life and life in general. Your relationships get stronger because they're not so dependent on all these vague attachments we put on them. They begin to flourish in their essential nature instead of their many tendrils of attachments that we like and dislike and then make judgments on. It's fun to be Buddhist. Felt like a late night commercial just then. Okay. So anyway, I hope this, this may bring up some questions for you, and I want to hear them. So put them in the comments. I'm curious to see what you think. And I guess on that note, this has been long enough, so I'm going to let you go. Thank you for being here. Support if you can. You know where all the places are. If you don't have time to watch these videos, remember, you can download all of them as podcasts wherever you get podcasts. Remember, it's the Buddhahood Podcast, the whole name. The Buddhahood Podcast. Okay? Take care. Strengthen your practice. Strengthen your health. And I will see you next time. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo.